You know, we've been in Acts chapter 2 for many weeks now, probably to the point where it might be difficult to see something new, although we just did. But I want to encourage us this morning to shake off any familiarity with this passage. I want us to look at this with a new set of eyes. I find it helpful when I come to a passage that I've been in a lot to imagine it as a field or a meadow. And each time I read this passage, it's like a path that I'm taking through this field or meadow. You know, we have a tendency to follow the same path every time, the familiar path, the worn path, the path that we're comfortable with. And so if we don't intentionally try, we often just walk the same path over and over again. We can kind of get caught in this mental rut, and we might disengage a bit because of this familiarity. So I encourage you in a moment to bring this fresh set of eyes, to walk a new path this morning as we work through this passage that is core to our desire to move from merely surviving right now to truly thriving. The path that I want us to walk this morning is the path of hospitality. I've preached about it before, and honestly, it's a concept that most of you have probably heard me talk about the most, but it holds a special place in my heart. Hospitality is central to who we are as followers of Jesus, and I find it essential to let Jesus define hospitality instead of relying on our own assumptions or our own preconceived ideas. So if you look at Matthew chapter 25, you'll find the parable of the sheep and the goats. And here we see Jesus in front of all the nations, all of those who have ever lived. And everyone is coming face to face the day of judgment. And Jesus separates this crowd into two groups, the sheep and the goats. And starting in verse 35, we read, or 33, we read, "And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.'" So the people on his right hear this, and they ask Jesus, "Well, where did we see you in any of these situations? When did this happen?" And he tells them that whenever they did this for the least of these, his brothers, meaning the least of those around them, they did it for him. They did it for Jesus. And in the same way, those on the left, they did not do any of these things for the least of those. And as a result, they go away into eternal punishment. So you can see that this is a very serious thing, what's going on here. And there's a lot listed in this passage. There's a lot of different things to be done. But the easiest way to summarize these things is with one word: hospitality. From this passage in Matthew, we can gather a fairly simple and straightforward definition of what hospitality is. Hospitality is meeting the needs of those around you. Whether the need is for food or for shelter or simply for welcome. Hospitality, being hospitable, means meeting that need. So as we return to our familiar passage, Acts chapter 2, focus in on those little snippets of hospitality. Walk along what might be a new path as we discover the various ways that the early church practiced hospitality. But before we read, let's ask God to bless this morning. Father, we thank you for another day to come into your word, to open our ears and our hearts to what you have to say to us. Lord, I pray that you would have us discern this morning what your will is, how we can be better followers of you, and how we can be hospitable to those around us. So Lord, be with us as we read once more and speak to us in ways that we might not expect this morning. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Upon reading again, I see three main sections that are packed full of hospitality. First, verse 42, teaching, fellowship, food, and prayer. Then verse 45, they sold property and possessions to meet needs. That one says it outright. Verse 46, we see more fellowship, more food. Hospitality for the early church was not a once-a-month time where they filled their service quota, so to speak. Hospitality was ingrained into the way they lived their lives. Every day, they had the opportunity to practice hospitality, and they also had the opportunity to have their own needs met by those in the community. It's important that we don't box our hospitality up into this neat package that gets delivered on a schedule. Meeting the needs of those around us is a constant calling. From our parable in Matthew, we also see that it might not look the way we expect it to look. Well, let's go back to verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. When I read over this verse, I can't help but think about life groups. Fellowship and meals, spending time together, eating food, sharing our lives, being devoted to the apostles' teaching, or in other words, for us having a lesson or a Bible study, a devotional, praying together for one another. And you might ask, is all of this really hospitality? And I would counter by asking, aren't all of the things listed here needs that we have in our lives? You know, first, we need food every day, but that's obviously the easy answer, the familiar answer. We also have a deep need for fellowship. We were created to be in relationships with others, with God. It's ingrained in us to be together, and we can't truly thrive in life remaining isolated and separated and alone. And this is obviously a major reason why the last 6 months have been so challenging with the isolation, the quarantines, the distancing. It's hard. You know, our need for community has remained constant, if not increased, over these past months, and yet our ability to meet that need for community has been crippled in a sense. It's been challenged. But thankfully, we now have precautions like masks and distancing and simply being outdoors that allow us to get closer to each other relationally while still remaining safe. And we have an abundance of Zoom and live stream options that allow us still to connect. All of these things allow us to meet in person, that allow us to meet online. These are a part of our hospitality, truly. And of course, we can't overlook our spiritual needs, right? These are met through the apostles' teaching, through prayer. And I just talked about how we need this relationship with, with people and with God? And how do we foster that relationship with God apart from being in his word and talking to him through prayer? Providing opportunities for others to grow in their relationship with God is a crucial aspect of hospitality. So hopefully what you can begin to see is that hospitality is not only a constant calling, something that we always need to be on the lookout for, something we always need to be doing, but it's a holistic calling. It's a meeting of needs that are spiritual, that are physical, that are emotional. The list goes on. Hospitality is a holistic, constant calling to meet the needs of those around us. And I think we can see this in verse 42. But let's also take a look at verse 45, because it brings a little different nuance to round out our hospitality. Verse 45 says, "They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need." So there you have it. Next Sunday, we'll be having the biggest garage sale that Conroe has ever seen. I'm joking, but that might be the first thought that comes to your mind, right? I think this passage can bring up a lot of questions. For instance, if they sold everything and gave it all away, they wouldn't have anything, and then their need would only increase, right? Or maybe a little more simply, wouldn't selling things just cause a bigger need down the road because you wouldn't have those things? Well, I think it's important to first note that the passage doesn't say they sold everything that they had. I think the picture here is a community that's willing to forsake some of their own wants for the needs of others. This looks a lot less like sell your entire house, give that money to the church and live in a tent, which might be a way we kind of make this verse in an extreme and then just kind of brush over it, rationalize it away. I think it might look a lot more like maybe you skip that phone upgrade this year for your phone that still works great and give that money to somebody who doesn't have a phone that works so great or have one at all. In my mind, I see this internal battle between consumerism and hospitality, this culture of buying the latest and greatest thing and dropping cash at every corner to stay on top, to stay relevant. And we want the freshest clothes, the newest car, the latest iPhone. And these things aren't inherently bad. Don't hear that. The danger is when we allow this consumption to take place of our hospitality. When we meet our own wants before looking to the needs of others around us. Verse 45 is all about being generous with our resources. And when those around us have a need, we look out for that. We live in a time and place where there's much wealth, at least to the point that we know where our next meal is coming from and we have a roof over our heads. But the past few months haven't been easy for a lot of people. There have been layoffs. There have been entire companies shutting their doors. There have been increased financial needs with decreased financial resources for a lot of people. The church, in the wake of COVID, we are absolutely surrounded by need. And it's our duty to be generous to those in need. So financial needs one front, but we also must be willing to give our other resources, such as time. For example, attending a life group isn't just about yourself. Being involved with a life group is in part becoming available to other people, that you might give them your time, that you might speak into their lives, that you might grow a friendship with them and fulfill that need for community in their life. It might also look like giving your time to one of our ministries here at Grace Crossing. And so I'd like to invite Jerry Riggs, one of our elders, up to the stage to talk about our various ministries, the ways in which we serve, so you can get involved. As we seek to strive to thrive, as we strive to seek to thrive here and now, we must follow this example in Scripture. We see how the early church was generous in their resources, selling things to give money to those in financial need, while also meeting the spiritual and physical needs of those in their community. This was abundant in the early church, and we as a body of believers are trying to embody that culture of hospitality. Okay.
I'm glad to be able to come to you today and talk about fellowship and sharing instead of the usual elder speak about budgets and finances. We've been living into Acts chapter 2 these last few weeks, and I want to reread verse 42. They spent their time in learning from the apostles, taking part in the fellowship, and sharing in the fellowship meals and the prayers. At Grace Crossing, we have several opportunities for practicing fellowship as our first century brothers and sisters did. I'm going to mention some of the ministries we do here and let you know who the contact person is in case you want more information. These first two are not only for our members, but also for the community around us. And that's Grief Share, and that's coordinated by Pat Carter. This ministry helps people go through the grieving process. Financial Peace University is coordinated by Jesse Villarreal. This ministry helps people get out of debt. These next three ministries are suspended temporarily, but are worth mentioning when things get back to whatever that new normal is. The Grandparent Nursery is coordinated by Patty Williams. If you enjoy fellowshipping with babies and toddlers, this is a great opportunity to help out young mothers during worship service. If you're called to visit people in the hospital, we have a hospital visitation ministry here to fellowship with those who are ill. Please see me if you're interested in that. Our Common Grounds Cafe, coordinated by Diane Mullis. This is probably the most missed ministry we have right now at Grace Crossing. This ministry serves coffee and donut holes every Sunday morning. So if making coffee and fellowshipping is your thing, please be ready to volunteer in that area when we get back to normal or when it reopens. Now, you might be wondering, why are you telling me what I can't do? Well, these next five ministries will help you thrive, not only survive during this COVID season. The Expectant Mothers Ministry is coordinated by Jessica Legan. This ministry is a support system for expecting mothers and celebrates new life in its earliest stages. Encouragement Card Ministry is coordinated by Sherry Jackson. Volunteers in this ministry send out cards each week to those needing encouragement. Sisters in Service and Bereavement Meals Ministries are coordinated by Sue Green. Both these ministries provide meals, one for those in need of an extra hand during a difficult time in their life, and the other provides meals for families after funerals and memorials. Sister Connection is organized by Haley Thompson. This ministry provides opportunities for the women at Grace Crossing to get to know one another through fellowship and small group activities. I believe there's an activity coming up later this month, bingo. Now that we're back to meeting in person, there's one ministry that is close to my heart that Zach's already mentioned, and that's the hospitality ministry or greeting ministry. If you're new to Grace Crossing or still trying to figure out where you want to serve, the greeting ministry is a great gateway ministry to serve in. It involves right now greeting at the front doors, passing out communion, or driving a golf cart. But it has two requirements. One, the ability to smile through a mask. And two, say good morning. If you can do that, please email or talk to Zach. He's trying to get that ministry back being robust again now that we're back meeting in person. Verses 44 through 45 says, all the believers continued together in close fellowship and shared the belongings with one another. They would sell their property and possessions and distribute the money among all according to what each one needed. This church has a caring and giving heart, and we model this type of sharing in several ways. This church budgets money for our assistance ministry, which is overseen by Lanny Dreesen. This ministry helps members with financial assistance as they have a need. The Impact Houston Church of Christ is an inner city ministry that we support and is coordinated by John Meredith. We support Impact in three ways. One, the Impact Back to School, where volunteers take children from Impact to stores to buy them school supplies. But this year, we could only give financially because of what was going on. But Impact took those funds and ensured that each of those kids got their school supplies. Secondly, Impact Christmas. John will set up a Christmas tree with the names of kids at Impact that may not get a Christmas, if this congregation didn't share their wealth to buy them a present. And thirdly, Impact serves lunch every Sunday to their congregation and to the neighborhood around them. Grace Crossing, along with other churches in the Houston area, buys that lunch and serves it to them. Grace Crossing does this 3 times a year. This has been put on hold, but when it begins again, we'll let you know. Also in the Christmas conversation, Karen Epic coordinates the Mission Para Cristo Christmas boxes that members of this church put together and send to Honduras. Another opportunity for Grace Crossing members to share financially is the upcoming Thanksgiving boxes, which Rod mentioned earlier. And normally we pass out those boxes. We gather those boxes up, we fill them, and we pass them out to the food bank during distribution. But this year we're asking just for donations, so somebody else, volunteers, will fill those boxes. Look in the bulletin for the link to give. And this brings me to the last sharing opportunity we have here. We at Grace Crossing financially contribute to the Montgomery County Food Bank. And on every second Wednesday of the month, the food bank comes to Grace Crossing with a truckload of food to pass out to those in need. This is also a great fellowship opportunity by volunteering with other Grace Crossing members to pass out food boxes. Please contact Chris Keene or Millie Beckwire if you can volunteer. The next distribution will be October 14th. A lot of this information I just mentioned will be posted on the website under the Get Connected tab. Thank you, and see me afterwards if you have any questions.
Good morning. My name is Tim Hicks, and I'm the director at Grace Crossing Academy. And you may be thinking, okay, you're talking about ministry and service. Now, Grace Crossing Academy, I can envision childcare and education, but I don't quite grasp that concept of ministry and service. So I want to give you a little glimpse of some things that are going on and things that you may can get involved with. When COVID hit, it kind of threw everyone for a loop. The school decided that we needed to do something to minister not only to our staff, but also to the families. So during March and April, while we were closed, we went ahead and paid our staff. And we also refunded parents' tuition that they had paid during that time because we felt like that is the right thing that we needed to do and to make that sacrifice. Now, when we started back in May, our enrollment numbers were pretty low. So we decided it was time to take a negative and make it a positive, that this is our time to thrive instead of just surviving. So we decided we have an empty classroom. Let's use it. So we created very quickly a library that the kids now can go to. Their teachers can take them in there for special story times. The kids can check out books and take them home. And this is just another way that we can get the kids excited about learning and growing. We also began to hear from parents of our pre-K kids that they were a little worried about starting their kids in kindergarten this fall. So we were able to secure a certified teacher and open up a kindergarten class for a small number of our families. Now, service to our staff is something that's very dear to my heart because I don't know that you know this, but more than half of our staff are either single or single mothers. So we do things to help them and encourage them. Jessica Legan, on behalf of the ministry staff, during our in-service, she provided a coffee bar, and she also provided a snack bar for our staff. Now, if you want to get to the heart of our teachers, food is the way to do that. Now, Emily Burns has been a tremendous help in bridging the church-school relationship. For the first day of school, she provided a snack bar. A snack cart that we were able to push around, and the teachers were able to get little, you know, that little sugar that they needed to get through that first day of school. Emily is also coordinating a quarterly lunch for our staff, and I'm sure she would be willing to take any volunteers to help her with that. Once a month, Becky and I, we provide what's called dessert birthday. So we provide a dessert for our entire staff on that first Wednesday of the month, and it's to celebrate the birthdays. We also provide donuts every Friday. Now, non-food related, we've decided that our teachers needed to encourage one another, so we took one of our walls down through the hallway and created an encouragement wall that every teacher has a special little butterfly with their name on it, and we have a big stack of Post-its, and teachers write notes of encouragement to one another and put all over that wall, and it's very encouraging to walk down there and see how they're encouraging one another. Later this month, we're going to create a special prayer request area in our lobby for our staff so that they can put in any special prayer needs that they have that we can be praying about. Now, serving our families is very important to us. And we decided to take it from the playbook from the church. So all of our students and all of our classes are learning the same Bible lesson during the week. On Wednesdays, I send a special email out to the parents, letting them know what that Bible class is being taught to their children, and then giving them some key things that they could do at home to help continue talking to their kids about what they're learning at school. I also send out a special parenting resource once a month to the parents to show them that we're here not just educationally for them, but we're here for them, walking with them as they parent. Now, this is just a glimpse of some of the things that we do, and we would love to have your support in coming up with other ways that we can do this. We had one couple from the church who decided that they do not want anyone to go hungry. So they created a small little pantry over at the school, and they have told our teachers that if for any reason you're running short during the month, you stop by and get anything out of that pantry that you need. And that has been a blessing to some of our single mothers. So we are always looking for other ideals that we can use in serving our staff and our families at Grace Crossing Academy.
Tim and Jerry, thank you for what you've shared. It's great to hear about what is going on at Grace Crossing and Grace Crossing Academy. We spent the morning talking about meeting the needs of others and the ways in which we're currently serving others. And so it only makes sense to make it as easy as possible to get involved with all of these things. I first want to talk once more about life groups. We had an entire Sunday dedicated to it, and I think that just goes to show how important this is. Like Micah said, if there's one thing to be involved in at Grace Crossing, it's life groups. And we hope that you get involved with more. But life groups are so core to what we do. Think back to Acts 2:42. The apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. It's almost a moment for moment of a life group night. And I know that many of our life groups get involved in all of these service opportunities that we have as well. To get involved, simply go to our website, gracecrossing.church. You can hover your mouse over the Get Connected tab, and there is a list of all sorts of things. We have women's ministry, Bible classes, life groups is on there, and several others. And that's a great starting point at getting connected. It'll give you a breakdown of what we offer, what's available, who to contact. So check that out. If you're looking to serve, we have, again, many opportunities available that you just heard about. These are in the bulletin. They're on the website. There's regular things. There's yearly things. Get involved. And I'll give one more special plug for our greeting ministry. This is very dear to both Jerry and I, and we love seeing people welcomed on Sunday. We have the opportunity to do it twice a week, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. And so if you're wanting to be equipped to welcome others, if you're wanting to be that masked, smiling face that everyone gets to see in the morning, reach out to me. Email me at zach.wilt@gracecrossing.net. Call the office, get to my number, leave a message. whatever you need to do, just let me know, and I would love to have you serve with us. So why do we do all of this? Why do we have all of these opportunities? It's to follow the example set, of course, to meet the needs, of course. But is there anything more to it? Is there anything more to the service that we do? Well, let's take one last look at Acts 2, the second half of verse 47, the very last part of this. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. God uses our service to others, our hospitality, our meeting of needs, to make himself known and to spread his kingdom. He uses these things to bring other people to him. Through our generosity, our giving of our time, our resources, ourselves, God spreads salvation and grows his kingdom. So we have the opportunity to be used by God and to thrive in a time that's difficult and challenging. We can be used by God to meet the needs of our sisters and brothers, all of those around us. And I pray that we share this desire to see verse 47 happen everywhere, that the church may grow and lives can be changed by the gospel. Lord, we thank you for the ways in which you've blessed us. And I pray that we would have generous hearts, hearts willing to give abundantly to those in need, that we can meet these needs and serve others in a way that glorifies you. Use us in powerful ways, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.